Good afternoon. Welcome to the Technical Advisory Committee. Looks like we have a full house today, this afternoon, whatever. We have a call to order.
Well, we have a quorum.
All right. All right, let's, you guys have all, you should all have the meeting minutes in your packet. Hopefully you've had a chance to review those meeting minutes. Anybody have any objections or potential changes to the meeting minutes? All right, I'd like a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
We'd be so moved. Costco, second.
Motion and second. Further discussions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item is staff reports. Curtis?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you can see attachment 3A, you'll see through June 30th, we spent about 80% of our budget. I would be happy to answer any questions. We did have a retirement this year. If you knew Phyllis Dividen, she retired this summer in July. And, before we do any replacing, we're kind of going to be in a holding pattern until we see what the replacement is to the highway bill, just to see what kind of funding we can expect. That, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
See enough questions, we'll move on.
Do you need our approval?
Yes.
For staff report? I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'll check it.
We need approval.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair Rittman.
You have two?
We had
Mr.
Massey. Oh, all right. Right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're getting too lax.
Oh, it's summertime. Down. I'm still on past weekend. All right. So all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. Technical progress report, Matt Stewart.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Nice to see the really full crowd today. So as we kind of wind down summer, hard to believe it's almost over. Staff is mostly back from vacations. We're involved in a lot of stuff right now. Later in the meeting today, we're going to be talking a lot about funding, both our CMAQ funding that we're in the thick of right now, and then we're prepping for our upcoming funding rounds this fall. So that's been taking a lot of our staff time over this summer. We're also finishing up on a couple of special reports. Work on our crashes is ongoing, as it seems like it always is. We have a new high injury network update for the Safe Streets for All process, so I think we're tentatively going to be talking about that in September, but we have a new web map that's just about fully developed. Amy's been working on the 2024 crashes and the analysis that goes into that so that we can eventually do our annual crash report. Work is wrapping up on both of our connecting communities studies in Summit Lake and New Franklin, so we've been very happy with both of those processes. And then the regional signal inventory that you might remember from a little over a year ago. That's in our hands now, too. We're kind of reviewing the draft work that's been done, but we should have some good data for everybody to sink their teeth into pretty soon. So a lot going on, but that's all I have for right now. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Amy Frater will discuss the federal funds report.
Thank you. Well, we just started the fiscal year on July 1st, and so far the only thing that has encumbered is air quality, rideshare at CMAQ, and a small amount of Worcester State reconstruction was refinanced so the money could be used this year. MATS is now using the ESTIF, which is the online version of the state's DIP. We're also using Ellis, and ODOT now has an MPO dashboard, so we're able to see things that change within a day of it changing, if not the same day. So we're able to update things a lot more frequently, as opposed to before we were only able to update things monthly. So if you look, the STBG allocations are much lower this year, and that's because we have a loan repayment to OKI for $2.1 million, and it automatically comes out at the beginning of the year. Actually comes out before the beginning of the year. It adds it and subtracts it at the same time as we get the loan. So we do have a balance of carbon reduction, but we will be using most of that money in carryover in 2026. We don't expect a loan in 2026. That should cover it. CMAQ allocations are actually lower this year as well, because the same situation as STBG, we had a loan for approximately $2 million to cover our 2025 expenditures. And then TASA is currently negative for this year, so we will expect to get a loan this year, because the carryovers from 24 and 25 almost cover it, but unless something comes in a little under, we're probably going to have to get a very minimal loan. So, does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Amy. Old business.
We have none.
New business.
All right, attachment 5A, the draft AMATS funding policy guidelines. So you should all have in your packet a draft version of these guidelines. For those of you that know, our TAP TIP is sort of the first looking at our funding policy guidelines from 2023, reviewing them, and then either staff or the committee suggests any changes that we'd like to see to that policy. Some of it is very much maintenance changes, things, you know, over time change and we update them. Sometimes we change things like the cap or certain scoring criteria of programs. So what we wanted to do today was just make sure that it's in front of everyone. When we did a funding policy subcommittee about 7 years ago, one of the things that AMAT staff committed to was making sure that our members get to see a draft of the funding policy guidelines, because then we will be looking to approve it in September. And I know a lot of people on TAC are probably aware of this stuff, but also for our friends at the policy committee, they like to be able to take a look at it, ask questions if there are any. So really our comment period is open for if there is anything that people would like to know about or make changes to for what the TAC TIP put together. I will just kind of quickly go through some of the highlights. When I talk about some of the maintenance things, we wanted to update our language that would accurately reflect our role as it comes to the 5310 program in transit, because that has changed. We are looking to increase our resurfacing funding cap, so the amount of money that you can apply for resurfacing. It used to be $800,000. Now we've increased it to $1 million, but only for the first priority project a community applies for. We are also suspending, as Amy pointed out in her presentation, the carbon reduction program. We have a very low confidence that this program is going to continue into the next program, and we are over-programmed enough right now with the carbon reduction that if for some reason that changes within 2 years, we feel very confident that we can go back out for a round of funding, but we didn't want to give communities false hope to start developing projects if we felt like the program might not be there. So we've suspended that program. We've increased the crash report, AMAPS crash report. If you were on that report, it used to get 15 points. We've increased that to 20 to emphasize safety as part of our program. The other major change was reducing the maximum ADT in the resurfacing program from 15 points to 12 points with a 12-point maximum. So basically what it did was that where we used to give, if you had 15,000 points or 15,000 cars per day, you get 15 points, but now we've maxed out at 12. So the max points would be 12 points for a high-volume roadway. But with that, we also increased the strip paving, which is part of our promotion of maintenance activities, from 7 points to 10 points on the resurfacing program. We anticipate, and there's other things, I didn't want to read through the whole list, but We anticipate about having $11 million of STBG available, $11 million of the servicing funding available, and about $3.5 million of TASA funding available for the next round of funding. The timeline, like I said, is that we will be asking for final approval of the funding policy guidelines in September. Upon approval, which would be on September 25th, we would make applications for projects available either that afternoon or the next morning. And then we would be asking those applications to be due by Friday, November 7th, 2025. We are expecting, due to the, as Matt will talk about, our increase in CMAQ applications, we are looking to maybe push back our approval timeline. Usually we try to get everything approved in January, but we're going to sort of tentatively set March just because we have been getting a large chunk of applications when we've done rounds of funding, and it keeps increasing. And sometimes it's hard to hit all those deadlines by December, January to make sure that our committees can review them before we go to approval. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, you know, any comments, any concerns, et cetera. And really, up and through the September meeting is when we're going to be asking policy to approve these changes. So thank you very much.
Chris?
Yes.
I have a question. As you know, I'm not a member of the subcommittee, so I just wondered, there was apparently a conscious decision not to include issue two funding and in the policy guidelines and, you know, the OPWC funding. So I just, help me understand why that wasn't a consideration. I know on the, as a member of the Summit County TAC for issue two, from time to time we consider a project's funding, you know, from you guys or from ODOT or
Typically, the way that our committee has worked is that we allow the OPWC funding to be considered part of local match for the project. And that, I believe, is written within that, you know, because you can't do federal with federal, as you know. So what we were trying to do, and for a long time, AMAX used to actually not allow state funds to match our federal funds. It had to be true local. So I think the way that we approached the OPWC is that, you know, we're usually the first one in because we're 5-6 years out, and then it doesn't make sense for us to necessarily say prioritize an OPWC job because we can't fund it anyway unless it's 5 years out, which OPWC tends to not be. So we kind of do it on the inverse where they see, you know, if they get AMATS money, they can then look to minimize their local share by getting the OPWC.
Okay.
Thanks.
Moving on to the congestion, the CMAQ funding program application.
All right, hello again. Just going to give a brief summary on item 5B. Hopefully you saw the memo in the packet. Earlier this summer, we solicited projects for congestion management and air quality, or congestion mitigation and air quality funding. So this is funding that improves air quality and reduces or relieves congestion. By doing that, we ended up with 19 applications, and I'll go over that, how that compares to previous rounds here in a bit. But we had a pretty big ask. We don't know how much money exactly we will receive, but we're estimating right around $12.5 million. This kind of depends based on how we advocate and talk with our statewide committee, which Jeff and I are members of. But we're estimating somewhere right around 12.5, maybe up to 13 million that we'll be able to program for projects. But either way, with a $69 million ask, we're looking at just, you know, a small fraction of what we can award, unfortunately. We received the 19 applications, a big variety of projects, a lot of different signal type projects. There are several two-way left turn lane or right turn lane type projects. There are a few projects that have roundabouts, either as the whole project or part of a larger project. Both of our transit agencies applied for funding for bus purchases. So a lot of the kind of the usual types of projects we received, and 19 projects totaling $69 million. Since July 18th, when our applications were due, our staff has been involved in the scoring of these projects. It's a much more involved process than our other funding sources, just because we have to do cost effectiveness analysis, and we're really digging into congestion numbers through using our old or our 2024 CMP. It's just a lot of review, a lot of different steps. About half of our staff has been involved in this process. We're kind of at the tail end of it right now. You can see here that, you know, our ask, as Curtis was just talking about with other funding sources, our ask continues to go up. We thought it was pretty remarkable 2 years ago, and we got 15 applications. Now we're at 19. You know, our average request amount has stayed pretty steady over the last round, but everything else, it's a lot higher. So there's a definite interest in this fund. And just to give you a wrap up by talking a little bit about what to expect over the next few months, I think we've reached out to all the sponsors that we need additional information on. We're still gathering a little bit of that, but we have a few communities that don't have their legislation in yet, which we know is pending, and that's fine. But what we're looking at is after our policy meeting on September 25th, we'll be submitting our applications to the statewide committee ahead of their September 30th deadline. And then in October, Jeff and I will go to Columbus and be part of that discussion where we make the statewide recommendations. It's ultimately up to the OARC Executive Directors Committee, which meets toward the end of November, to make that final decision, and then we should have an answer on which projects get funded. So are there any questions right now? We'll talk a little bit more about this next month also. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Moving on to resolutions.
Thank you. Resolution 2025-10, which is amending the TIP for the new TIP for the first time. We are adding two projects, adding phase funding to two projects, and deleting three projects. And the projects are listed below. The two project adds are ODOT projects, and then the added phasing are just slight changes in funding amounts. Usually, it's not our funding that changes. It's usually like local or they get new funding sources or things like that that change. So. They're just funding adjustments. And then there's three projects to delete. The first project is our project, and the project is not actually being deleted. It's actually being merged with another project in the same community. So we have to delete it, and then we have to combine the funding. We combine the funding. We don't have to amend it. We don't have to amend the TIP to add the funding, because the funding amount is not past the thresholds, so we've already combined the projects previously before this project is actually canceled officially. And then the last two projects that are deleted were ODOT projects that they decided not to fund. So, any questions?
Thank you, Amy. A motion is required.
Moore, move to approve.
Second reading.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to resolution 2025-11.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6B in your packet is resolution 2025-11. This resolution seeks to add federal capital funds to the TIP for Metro for three projects. In July, ODOT awarded Metro $1.1 million in funding from their Ohio Transit Partnership Program. These funds are flexed over from highway for transit use. The first project uses $554,000 in federal funds for maintenance shop equipment. second uses $533,000 in federal funds for furniture, and the third uses $14,000 for fitness equipment. The source of these federal funds is the carbon reduction program. All three projects are scheduled in fiscal year 2026, and the staff is requesting approval of resolution 2025-11. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Jeff. If no further questions, entertain a motion. Motion and a second. Any further discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Other business. Naismith.
Show of hands real quick. When I say BRT, how many people have heard those letters and know what I'm talking about? Pretty good. All right, so BRT means a lot of things to different people. I apologize for some of the redundant slides for some of you. But bus rapid transit, again, means different things to different people. So the Federal Transit Administration, BRT essentially means light rail on wheels. That has changed over time. To me, what BRT means essentially is complete streets. It's the picture on the top right. That is what Columbus is designing as we speak. BRT really is multimodal. It's a complete revamp of a corridor, including and focusing on transit. So the way we view BRT essentially is a high investment in one of our routes. And with that in mind, we have five main goals. As always, provide fast, reliable, and comfortable transit. Enhance the connectivity and efficiency. That's for us and for our community. Use equity to guide our TOD, which is transit-oriented development. It's really important to understand that not only is BRT moving people, but it's also economic development. And there are numbers, and I'll talk about that during policy. And I'll mention a few numbers next slide about that as well. Boost economic vitality of Summit County. There's numbers behind that. And then I know it's a four-letter word, but we will support environmental resilience in this county. We are all behind that. And there's also important, as I mentioned, it's been an evolution of BRT. So there are different ways to mix and match different styles of BRT. We all probably think of BRT, the closest one, and one of the first in the nation was the Healthline in Cleveland. And it's what I would call the Cadillac, or the more intensive version of BRT. I mean, it took over Euclid Avenue for years, and it is what is a dedicated guideway. I mean, if you completely take it over and you build what is a dedicated guideway for your buses, and it is undeniably for bus traffic. However, with technology and TSP, there are different ways of going about it. Where you can use mixed traffic where you don't even see a dedicated lane, and then you can kind of mix and match certain percentages of dedicated lane as well. However, with that, there are trade-offs. So you have really amazing service, and you have what is viewed as, less travel time and different economic trade-offs as developers view it on the right side, and you have slower travel times on the left. So it is cheaper on the left, but you get less of a return. So I'll actually call it the return investment. The more to the left of the matrix that you need. It cost, in 2008 numbers, Cleveland $200 million to build the health line. $80 million of that came from the feds. $40 million of that came from the state. And then mix and match between grants and local funding after that. There has been $6 billion in economic development return since then in 12 years. So do that math, it's a pretty good return on investment when it comes to economic development. And there are
That's one of the lower returns on investment actually for BRT. So I mentioned you can kind of mix and match, but there are a few priority investment infrastructure elements that have to occur. And the ones on the left, transit signal priority and BRT stations or superstops, we are getting started on in 2026. We have funding mechanisms in place. I have a call with Google on Tuesday. We are moving forward with transit signal priority, irregardless if we're doing BRT or not. It is a main component of BRT. However, return on investment, for us, it has one of the biggest returns. And it's something that we can get out in front of, and it's something that we are going to get out in front of. But it is paramount because there are certain engineering and traffic engineering, outcomes that you need, like queue jumps. So, for instance, here, you can have what is a near side stop. So let's say we stop for the light, which is a near side stop, and we're picking up people and the light's green. What TSP will do for us is hold that green light a slight bit longer so we don't hold up traffic with our bus, and it will allow us to scoot through that green light and not hold up traffic. Vice versa. Long story short, TSP allows our buses to get out of the traffic. And then another priority infrastructure element would be the stations. So for us, when you think of bus stations, you probably think full underground at the site. That is not what BRT stations are about. I'll show you a slide down the line, but they're about a $3 million investment. And the reason why they are this investment is because it provides us with the ability to give better shelter to our passengers, but most importantly, it represents a chance for transit-oriented development for developers. When developers see a bus stop that can't move, they're willing to invest money around that bus stop, which is why you hear about that $5 billion or $6 billion return on investment in Cleveland. It is a captured presence in people that will be getting on and off for developers. They're willing to put their business there. They're willing to put they're willing to put an apartment complex next to it because it has the ability to get places quickly. And then dedicated bus lanes. We don't have the problem with congestion in Akron. We realize that it's going to be a give and take when it comes to dedicated bus lanes, but we're also willing to understand that we're not going to be 100% bus lanes. It's just the way it goes now. We understand that. So if we go to, the typical BRT station and why I say it's very different, you're going to find that we improve, essentially, pedestrian access. So for those of you that are dealing with pedestrian issues, crashes in your city, BRTs provide a way to mitigate that. We will have real-time information displays, onboard collection. So the whole idea is get your business done at the station. The only thing you're doing when the bus comes is jumping off as quickly as possible. And then everything's data for us. So the quicker you can get on and the quicker you can get off. For me, my KPI is on-time percentage, so that only helps me out. But we also have bike racks. We have Uber that will come and pick you up at these stations. We have Metro Next, which you probably never heard about, but it's our own version of Uber. It's clean, it's efficient, it snow melts when it comes to sidewalks, solar panels on the roofs. These are modern infrastructure that is something that you see in many other cities around us. So again, why bus rapid transit? There's a lot of reasons. I've mentioned most of them. Placemaking is probably one that I haven't mentioned so far. In my opinion, I came from the private side. I was an urban designer. This is a chance for us to create placemaking. When we do create these stations, it will be a good chance for us to tell a story about the neighborhood that the stations are in. Make this unique story time for each individual city and each individual place. But it also increases accessibility for our residents, and it's more cost-effective. And then, of course, improve travel times and then safety. And then reduces congestion. Believe it or not, this helps get our buses out of the way. It's just that easy. submission federal requirements for BRT, we would be utilizing something called the CIG, the Capital Investment Grant. There's two different avenues when it comes to the CIG, small starts and new starts. In Cleveland, it was over over the amount they use new starts. None of our projects will meet the threshold for the $400 million. And we can't also meet the 100% dedicated guideline, which puts us in the avenue of small starts. So what does that mean? Essentially, that means that we're going to have to leverage TSP heavily when it comes to our routes, which is why I said we're going to be starting in 2026 with this. So I guess the question is when I flash these in front of you, where our lens will go, please feel free to talk to me, because we'd love to get a pilot for city. But, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. And, you know, one point I do want to make is if you're looking to invest in a corridor, we can bring the money. We'll be the one that brings, you know, 80% of that money and probably a big percent of that local match as well. So think about that as we move forward. This is our specific Metro BRT plan. We started this planning process quite a long time ago, and for whatever reason, it's been kind of shelved, and we're now getting back to it. And through a lot of study, feasibility study, we have identified four main corridors. So it's kind of tough to see. But up there, there's a yellow line. It goes up Market. It's Route 1. It is our number one route. We have about 850,000 riders a year that go along that route every year. Goes into Fairlawn. And all of our routes will go into our transit center, downtown Akron. Then we have Route B, which is the purple line that goes up into Cuyahoga Falls. That's Route 10. We have Route 8, which is our green line that goes down to Barberton. Starting August 17th, we will bump that up from a 30-minute route to a 15-minute route. Part of the CIG's scoring system is how many people ride that route. That will assist us in kind of getting those numbers up to see if we can fund it for that. Route 2 goes down below on South Arlington. You'll notice all of our routes go down South Arlington. It's been identified as one of the main routes for BRC. Again, about 850,000 people a year take that route. These are long routes, so I guess the way we're going to approach this is actually four phases instead of three. The idea that South Arlington will probably be the first phase, and this is the costing in 2023. And if you do the math, it's about $6 million per mile. Well, that's a lot of money, but remember, we're redoing utilities, we're redoing literally from building space to building space, and it's also infrastructure. Again, that's 2023 numbers. Highlighted in red is the inflation costs. Does anyone give me an accurate number right now of how much this is going to cost? Yeah, that's helpful. But right now, we're seeing successful implementation still this year when it comes to BRTs. Still happening. There's still funding for it, and we're going to keep moving ahead just as we planned before. So I guess, where are we at now? We are essentially where that arrow is. FTA has made it clear we need to do something called an LPA, which is a locally preferred alternative, which is going to get us kind of at a 30% drawing in NEPA requirements. It's going to be essentially on the back where we choose one of these four phases and we go for it. It'll get us in a lane for CIG funding and our capital stack. So that's essentially where we're at. I'll talk next time on policy, more of the economic development outcomes with BRT. But this is kind of where we're at right now in Metro. And then I want to give Metro a glance because I came from the private side, I came from the municipal side, and I had no idea how amazing transit was. So. If anyone doesn't know, 2025 Metro won the transit system of the year. So we are the best transit system in North America, from 3 million to 50 million riders in North America, which is the largest group. that you could win. We also just went through our triennial, just had an audit, and we had zero findings, which is insane. So we could have been hit with 650 findings, and we had zero. So we're kind of kicking butt right now. But anyways, service area. We serve the entirety of Summit County. That's actually 662 miles of routage. We serve 28 communities right now. August 17th, we'll serve every single one of them. We work 365 days a year. We're open from, however you want to say it, 1 a.m. to 4:15 a.m. We have 25 routes. That's 290 buses. At this time right now, I have 117 buses out driving. This time in August, we're going to be bumping up to 125 buses right now. At peak service. That's over 2,200 bus stops that we serve at this moment. And last year we had 5.3 million riders. That's 10 rides for every Summit County resident. So when we hear nobody rides it, it's, we'd like to say, well, actually, that's everyone in Summit County rides 10 times, which is 4,825,264 miles that our vehicles travel a year. And 21,591,029 miles our passengers travel. I wanted to say that's like going to the moon, but that's 90 million. So it's like going to the moon like one fifth of the way to the sun, actually. So, and there you go. If you have any questions, if you're in one of the communities, Tug Falls, Barberton, Akron, let's talk. We are going to be setting up a pilot for TSP. So, are there any questions?
You didn't, though.
Did I go ahead?
Yeah, you didn't
cut me off.
Yeah.
15 minutes. All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. Well, that concludes our agenda. Our next meeting is Thursday, September 18th at 1:30. Same room, same place. If anybody has any ideas for the annual meeting, let Curtis know. He's going to see if he can get the President of the United States to show up. Not optimistic.
We have an agenda laid out, but just so you know, you will be getting something by September 1st. We'll be having open, or we'll be selling our tickets. So please RSVP, because that will be before our next meeting.
Motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion. The Sheriff Rittman.
Second, Moore.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.